So this is all done through the magic of Fortran 90, which of course cannot be seen in this particular online version, but you will see, and you fortunately have your handout, and you will see this horrible, spread function. And spread function is this thing which makes these two-dimensional arrays, and you will see the spread function is followed by just a set of extremely trivial scalar products based on these new three-dimensional arrays. And so we have, in fact, an entirely vector version, the Fortran 90 version of this function, which is actually how the initial computations done on the connection machine, which was the original CM1 and CM2, it was how the original problems of this type were done. However, in my opinion, no rational person would ever do it this way, because these three-dimensional arrays are enormous. And so you wouldn't ever want to use that amount of memory. The key to this problem, for instance, the reason why the grapes can build this special purpose hardware is precisely because you don't have big arrays. You just have these simple arrays which are the size of the number of particles, and the computation which is the square of the number of particles. If you then made an array which is the square of the number of particles, you'd find the cost of your machine is entirely dominated by memory, not the floating point unit. So I see this as, in my opinion, as an academic exercise. There's also another problem that it misses a magic factor of 2, which has some historical interest to me, because I was describing the pipeline version of this algorithm way back probably in 1983. I visited CMU, and I was telling people why the hypercube works for this type of problem. And I presented effectively what we will describe next time as a pipeline algorithm. And Neil Ostlund, who was a chemist, said, well, this is off a factor of 2 from the correct algorithm, and he was correct, because the Newton's second law says action and reaction are equal and opposite. So that says the force on I due to J is equal and opposite to the force of J due to I. And so there is a version, and so the problem, if you like, with this computation is it does not exploit Newton's second law, the equal and forces between objects are equal and opposite. And there is, in the pipeline method, we're able to get this factor of 2 back and not calculate it. And I say to me, this was first pointed out to me by Neil Ostlund. So this shows you that these algorithms are very old. They've been known for 20 years or so. Indeed, the optimal algorithms have been known for 20 years. So next time, we will do that pipeline algorithm. I believe Tom Haupt did not quite finish HPF. I'll do that. And then I'll probably move on to MPI as message passing software. So as the problem set has to involve doing this, I'm going to set the problem set. I'll make the problem set. I'll set it on Tuesday, because I've got to be able to. I want the problem set to involve this type of algorithm, which I haven't done the correct way of doing it yet. So has anybody actually used the HPF on the web? Is it any good at all? Okay. So what I'll do, I've forgotten, but did I ask you to write a report on that software? So why don't I add the special Thursday add-on. Please critique HPF on the web and suggest why what's good and bad about it. Yes?